Today, everything changes.
Today, new life begins.
Our sin and our shame can no longer hold us.
Through God's love, we have been forgiven.
Through Jesus' sacrifice, we have been made new.
Today, we rejoice.
Death is defeated.
Today, we celebrate.
We are redeemed.
The tomb is empty.
Hope is restored.
Our Savior has risen.
Let us sing His praise together.
Jesus is alive.
There is now a hope that lasts beyond our days. For the one that once was buried lives again. Now the tomb is bare and empty, and the stone is rolled away. Praise the risen one who overcame the all you broken hearted, all you worn and weak, come find living water, everlasting streams. To the wandering spirit, lost and searching, wanting something more, find the risen King who overcomes the world. Let there be dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive.
No more condemnation, no more doubt and fear, for our sin and shame have no power here. In His resurrection, perfect love has set the captives free. Praise the risen King who stands in victory.
Let there be dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and Christ is King, for Jesus is alive.
Let there be
dancing in the darkness, and let our song break through the night. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive.
Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah, death is undone, hallelujah, Jesus has won, hallelujah, we overcome, oh in Jesus, oh in Jesus,
hallelujah, death is undone, hallelujah, Jesus has won, hallelujah, we overcome, oh in Jesus, oh in Jesus. Your voice and sing that Christ is King, for Jesus is alive. Lift your voice and sing that Christ is King, for
Welcome to Easter at FBC Wixom. Thank you for joining us for worship today. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Community groups are in full swing, but there is still room for you. If you are not yet connected with a community group, please visit fbcwixom.org/communitygroups to get signed up today. Community groups meet every Sunday night at 6 p.m. There is a night of fellowship planned for all single and young adults. This gathering will take place at Bradley Tice's home on Tuesday, May 3rd at 6:30 p.m., and dinner will be provided. Please see Bradley Tice for more details.
In just a few minutes, we will be dismissing children 4 years through the third grade at the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you'd like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out an online connections card at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
It's great to see you this morning. Happy Easter to you. Happy Resurrection Day. For many of us, this is our favorite Sunday of the year, and we're so glad that you can be with us for the celebration of our risen Savior today. In the hallway, in the back, between services, I heard several people greet one another with the phrase, "He is risen," and a response, "He is risen indeed." Would you help me with that this morning? He is risen, church.
He is risen.
Indeed, He is risen. And today's service is all about lifting up Jesus. His name is on the wall behind us. We want to think about our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the significance of the resurrection. We do not preach a Lord, a Savior who is dead and gone, but He is alive. We do not serve a Savior who is dead and gone. He is alive today, and Scripture is full of promises that rest upon the truth of the resurrection. And so this morning, what we want to encourage you to do, the video said this, but can I just remind you, would you just relax, think about Jesus, and worship Him this morning? There's a lot of special things planned today to draw your attention to Jesus Christ, and I hope that you will think on those things. Today is a special day, and it has a special schedule. I want to commend everybody that came early and braved the cold for the 7 o'clock service this morning. And then thank those that helped serve breakfast this morning. They did such a good job serving a nice breakfast. We appreciate that. Thank you for being here on time for an early service this morning at 10 o'clock. There are no community group meetings tonight, just so that you're clear about that. We're glad that you're here with us. Let's pray as we begin the service. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather together today for the express purpose of lifting up Jesus and thinking about the power of the resurrection and what it means to our faith, what it means to our church, what it means to us as individuals, what it means to our eternity. Lord, how we can trust now Your promises for anything, because You came through on Your promise to raise Yourself from the grave, to conquer sin and hell and death on our behalf. And for that, we thank You and we worship You today. Lord, we're grateful that we can gather in freedom like this. We're grateful for all of the guests that are with us today. And we ask that our time today would be special. Not special because we feel good, or not special because we enjoy the music or the video presentations, Lord, but special because our minds are truly fixed on our risen Savior for the next hour. May You glorify Him in our lives today and in the weeks and months to come. We love You. Thank You for all that we have in Jesus. And we pray this in His name. Amen.
Thank you. thankful for that truth. Thank you, Dan, for that song this morning. What I'd like to do is I'd like to include some scripture readings in as we prepare to sing some of the songs this morning, focusing on what Scripture has to say, the truth of Scripture, focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John 11:25-26 reads, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Wonderful truth found in Scripture as we worship our risen Savior. Let's stand together as we sing out the resurrection hymn, See What a Morning. Our Savior Jesus Christ, singing a great hymn, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground. Burned through the fiercest crowd and storm. What nights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still.
A world in darkness, lost in sin, full of bitterness and division, arrogance and hate, now interrupted by humility and grace, revealing the light of forgiveness and love. And his name is Emmanuel, born to set us free. Prince of Peace, breaking the walls of hostility. Bread of life, satisfying our hunger. Light of the world, breaking through our darkness. Lamb of God, crucified in our place. The risen one, victorious over sin and death. There is no other name by which we can be saved. His name is Jesus.
Let's continue to worship through song this morning as we stand and sing out that beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Let's sing this out together.
Jesus.
2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. Let's sing this out. Amazing grace, my chains are gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone.
Noticed it this morning, but we're making a big deal about the name of Jesus, just in case you missed it, because it's his name that's worthy of all praise. It's his name who commands such worship and adoration and deserves it by his amazing power. So we're going to sing out, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Let's sing this out together.
Praise his name.
about the name of Jesus, right? When we think about all that he's done for us, it really does make a difference. Great singing. You can be seated.
As the kids dismiss this morning, I want to read you a passage of scripture that we've mentioned the last couple of weeks in the morning messages from Luke chapter 22. And it's significant to the resurrection because we can probably relate with this person. It's a conversation that starts with Peter and Jesus. Jesus is telling Peter what's about to happen, and Peter can't imagine it. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31, the Lord Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." And Peter said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that you even know me." Verse number 54 picks up the narrative, and it says that they took Jesus and they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with Jesus." And Peter denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not of them." And about the space of an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. This song is about the resurrection from Peter's perspective. Imagine Peter in absolute defeat, having denied the very name of Jesus that we celebrate today, and yet going on to be a great preacher of the gospel and a leader of men and women as they follow Jesus. What happened between that moment of defeat and the great victorious life that Peter lived? And the answer is the resurrection. This song is about that truth.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me, As she told us where she'd been, she said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the tomb and the rolled stone just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but what I did not know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and the anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices I denied, I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it couldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove the shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet peace. And every fear I'd ever had melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. They lift him up
redeeming blood flows down. But look again, the cross stands empty now, and He is risen. Behold the Lamb, see Him crying.
While we turned away from Him, He turned His heart toward us. While we chased after selfish desires, He chased after us.
This unthinkable iniquity, our Creator, clothed in flesh and weakness, for the sake of those clothed in guilt and shame.
When we were lost and alone, He became a path for us. When we embraced the comfort of falsehood, He embraced us and showed us truth.
While we were eclipsed in shadow, our spirit broken and dying, He became life and light to all.
Our shepherd, teacher, savior, and king.
And when it seemed that the world had given up, He gave up everything at just the right time. When we were powerless, He displayed His power and purpose.
While we stood accused, He accepted the accusation. He endured humiliation and the untold suffering of crucifixion.
For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not because we deserved it, far from it, but because there has never been a greater love than the love of Jesus.
Today, if you feel hopeless, He gives hope unconditionally.
If you've been rejected, He accepts you completely.
If your burdens weigh heavy, lay your fears and failures at the foot of the cross, for His death, burial, and resurrection have erased them entirely.
No longer a slave, but an heir of salvation.
He is our living,
hope.
Hope.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame.
Jesus Christ today, he is your living hope. And a message that I'm sure you've heard plenty today and you'll continue to hear is about our amazing Savior Jesus Christ. The fact that he came, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again victoriously over sin, death, and grave. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will give you not only eternal life, but purpose and true hope. We can face tomorrow. We can face anything that this world has to offer because he lives.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood.
Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives.
Amen.
Song join the one that never ends because he lives.
I was dead in the grave, I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives.
song, join the one that never ends. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, every fear is gone. I know he holds my life, my future in him.
Jesus, there's just something about that name. Thank you for the music that reminded us of the power of the name of Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but while we were singing today, there were several names of Jesus or titles of Jesus that were used in the music. And there's a reason for that. Because the resurrection creates a distinction for Jesus that no other human being has. He's unique. He's the only one prophesied to raise himself from the dead, predicted it himself, laid himself on the cross at the time he wanted to die, and then did it, raised himself back from the dead. He's the only one that's ever done that. And because he's done that, it not only brings us peace and hope and eternal life, should we put our faith in Jesus, but it also sets him apart as the only one. See what I'm saying? He's unique. He is the resurrected one. Just one. Jesus. Why don't you just think about some of the names that we've mentioned this morning just briefly and how they relate to the resurrection. Let me just run through five names for you real quickly this morning. And then talk about why the resurrection makes these names possible. Number one, Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means, right? Scripture actually interprets it for us. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And when Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, was contemplating what to do with a pregnant fiancée, this was not cool in Israel to have a pregnant fiance. And he's contemplating, what do I do with this woman? An angel appears to Joseph and quotes this prophecy. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? God with us. God with us. So Emmanuel means that Jesus didn't start existing at his conception like you and I did. See, Jesus has existed as the past, from eternity past, as the Creator, the Son of God. On the first Christmas morning, he didn't start to exist. He became a man. He became human. He put on flesh. This is what Philippians 2 is referring to when it says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was God from eternity past, but he was made into a man, into a human. He put on flesh and he dwelt among us, John says, and we beheld his glory. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We're going to come back to that in just a second, but I want to show you another name, and that is Jesus, the name that's back here on the wall, Jesus. You're familiar with the name Jesus, and you might know that this was actually a somewhat common name. It's a derivative of the name Joshua. Joshua was certainly common in Scripture, and both of these names have a very specific meaning, and it means Savior, or God is Savior. Jesus, Savior. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save. That's what Jesus means. Emmanuel means God is with us. Jesus means God is saving. This is the most personal name for Jesus, and I love what it pictures. I love it. You think about the gospel. It's sort of like every human being is born headed downstream towards a waterfall. The waterfall is eternal death and separation from God. And we're headed downstream because we're born sinners. And we try. Our parents try to teach us not to be selfish. But we're selfish. And we're taught, tell the truth, but we lie. You with me? And we say, hey, things that belong to others are theirs. Don't take them, but we take them. Be honest when you do your tests, but we cheat. We don't have to be taught to do these things. We just do them. We're headed downstream. We're born sinners. And we try and we paddle and we work towards not going towards that cliff of death, that eternal separation from God, Niagara Falls, spiritually. We're working. And I think nearly every human being is trying. I don't want to be a bad person. I don't want to be separated from God for eternity. I don't want to go over that. We're paddling away. And God throws a rope across the boat and he says, hey, throw the paddles down. Grab the rope. And we say, I don't know. Like, I really want to paddle. I really like to paddle. I want to try. I want to see what I can do. I want to see if I can make a deal with God. I want to see if I can be good enough. And he says, no, grab the rope. And we say, well, I don't know if I want to grab the rope. I'm not sure I trust who's on the other end. And you look on the other end of the rope and here's Jesus, the resurrected one, the only one that ever raised himself from the dead. And he's holding the other end of the rope. I say, ooh, that's a deal. I am not going to say no to. And I throw the paddles down and I grab the rope. This is trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone because Jesus is Savior. He can save people from their sins. There's another title that we see all throughout the New Testament, and that is Christ. Christ is actually the New Testament version of a word you see in the Old Testament, the idea of Messiah. Messiah is the anointed one. The one that the Jews were looking forward to. In John chapter 1 verse 41, Andrew finds his brother Peter and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. We have found the Christ. We found the anointed one. We found the long awaited Messiah. The one who's going to permanently inhabit the throne of David. The one who's going to deliver us from evil permanently. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one that all the prophets were looking for to solve all their problems. That's Messiah. That's Christ. And they confess him as Christ. In Luke 9:20, Jesus says unto his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter answers and says, you're the Christ. To us, that doesn't maybe seem like a big deal. To the disciples, that was a big deal. The Christ. The one who's going to take away all evil for all time. That's Jesus. Number four, the Lord. That's another name for Jesus or a title for Jesus. That means master or ruler or authority. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you don't do the things that I say. And what Jesus is implying is if somebody's your Lord, you do what they say. They're the master. They're the boss. They're the chief. They're the authority. That's what this word Lord means. Someday, you know, everybody will call him Lord. Everybody will. Everybody will do what he says. Everybody will acknowledge that he alone is master. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you remember that passage? It says everything in earth, everything in heaven, everything under the earth, every creature that has ever lived will bow the knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. Have you confessed that Jesus is Lord? Have you? You can do so now of your own will, or you can bow with the masses of humanity, but it will be too late for you then. Those that confess Jesus as Lord before their physical bodies wear out and they go over that cliff of eternal separation from God, those that confess this before that happens get to themselves eternal life. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit more in just a minute, but Jesus is Lord. But can I tell you the last one? This showed up in a passage that Jeremy read to us just a few minutes ago. In John chapter 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the what? The life. It's a pretty cool title because Jesus does not say, I am the giver of life. What does he say? I'm life. I am life. You want life? You got to take me. The two go together. Now, here's what I want you to see this morning briefly. None of those names, not Emmanuel, not Jesus, not Christ, not Lord, none of those names work without this one. He's got to be the resurrection and the life. Let me show you what I mean. He's not God, Emmanuel, God with us, unless he can rise from the dead. You might say, how do you know he's God? How do you know he is the same with God? Well, he rose from the dead. Only God can do that. And anybody that claims, anyone that claims to be God that can't raise themselves from the dead is a fraud. Are you with me? And so he had to rise from the dead to be Emmanuel. He had to. I often think about Mary, his mother. Think about her. Like, when did she realize this was for real? I mean, the angel said that he was going to be the one who saved their people from their sins. And the angel said that he was going to be Emmanuel, God with us, and he claimed to be the Messiah, and he could certainly do some amazing things, and he could teach incredibly well. But for Mary, it must have been a pretty overwhelming experience to realize that he could predict his death, resurrection, and then do it. It must have been amazing for her. He is God with us. He's not the Savior unless he could rise from the dead. You might say, well, how do I know he can save me? He rose from the dead. He could save himself. He'd certainly save you. Look at the other end of the rope. Jesus is holding it. And he's totally capable of saving you. He's the only one that could do it. He's the resurrected one. You can have confidence that Jesus can save because of the resurrection. What about Messiah? Is he Christ? Is he the Messiah of the Old Testament? Only if he rises from the dead. The Messiah, the Christ, was predicted. Psalm 16:10, thou wilt not suffer the Holy One, the Christ, to see corruption. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 3, it says, Christ must needs have suffered. He had to suffer and to rise again from the dead. Otherwise, he's not Christ. Otherwise, he's not Messiah. No one else was prophesied to raise from the dead. Just one. Just Jesus. Messiah hangs on the resurrection. And he's not Lord unless he rises from the dead. How do you know he's really Lord? Listen to the preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2. It says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whom we whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's the master. He's the Lord because he's the one that God raised from the dead. His lordship hinges on this. Remember John chapter 20, when Thomas was doubting as to whether the resurrection was true or not? Remember how sarcastic he is with the other disciples? Unless I stick my fingers in his hands, I'll not believe it. Unless I put my hand in his side, I'll not believe it. This is Thomas. Then Jesus shows up. Remember what Thomas does? He doesn't say, hey, Lord, come here. I need to do a little quick test on you to see if it's for real. That's not what Thomas does. What does he do? He falls on his knees and he says, my Lord, and my God, my Master. Tell me what you want, Lord. You're my Master. You're in charge. You have all authority. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, the disciples are still wondering, what is going on? This is crazy. We saw him die. We saw them bury him. And here he is alive. And they're walking along. And it says that some of them were wondering and others of them were worshiping. And Jesus said this right before he gave them the Great Commission. Hey, don't forget, all power is given unto me. You say, wow, Jesus, that's a lot of power. In all the earth, that's a lot of power. He said, no. In earth and in heaven. I'm the Lord. I'm the Master. I'm in charge of the whole thing, everything. So here's the question I have for you as we prepare to conclude this morning. Have you done what Thomas did? Have you knelt before Jesus and confessed, my Lord and my God? You are the Master. What does it take for somebody to do that? Well, you kind of have to go through the same thing Thomas did. You got to realize you're a failure. You're a mess. You got to go through the same thing Peter did. Wow, I thought I loved him. I thought I was committed to him. I thought I'd go with him to death. And I wouldn't even go with him to trial. I'm so weak. I'm so sinful. I am pitiful. This is where the gospel begins. When somebody realizes, I'm trying to paddle, but I'm going really, really fast toward eternal destruction. I can't help myself. I realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I'm one of all. That's me. I've fallen so far short of the glory of God, and yet Jesus died in my place, which is great. Thank you, Jesus. But it doesn't even count unless he is who he said he is. And I know he is who he said he is because he rose from the grave. Jesus, I know you died in my place, and I take your righteousness and I confess you as Lord. And I'm going to lay down the paddles of my life today, the oars. I'm going to turn off my feeble little engine of good works. I'm going to grab the rope. Because the only one that raised himself from the dead is at the other end. This is what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. He said this, listen to this verse carefully, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the what? The Lord Jesus. And believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's what today is about. Thou shalt be saved. He is the resurrected Savior. He can give you eternal life. But he doesn't give everybody eternal life automatically. Only those that grab the rope. Only those that put down the paddles. Only those that say, wow, I can't save myself. I'm a mess. I need Jesus. He is God with us. He is the Master, the Lord. He is the promised Messiah, and he is the only one that can save. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving us a Savior that we can see in Scripture as a man, as someone who lived life as a human and who, Lord, understands us. Thank you for that, but thank you also for proving that he was not just any man, but he was God in the flesh. And you proved it by raising him from the dead. What an amazing thing. Lord, it's like on Easter Sunday, we're at a loss for words. We can't adequately describe the power and the might and the sovereignty that was contained in Jesus. But today, Lord, we want to try to worship him and lift him up and confess him as the only one who is worthy of our praise. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as Savior, would you help them understand what it means to put your faith in Jesus? Before I finish praying, can you just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second? We don't do this very often, but can I just have a quick conversation with you? There's some here I don't know, and I don't know if you know Jesus or not. It's really our responsibility as a church, my responsibility as pastor, to introduce you to him. Have you confessed him as Lord? Now, I'm not just saying tip your hat to him and out of respect. I'm saying your Lord. Have you come to that point where you realize that you can't do it on your own? By the way, no human can. You're not alone. You're with the rest of us. I can't do it on my own. Somebody's got to do it for me. Jesus says, good, you're ready to be saved. When you realize you can't do it on your own, I'm the only one that can do it for you. Can I just tell you? Scripture says that these things, the accounts of the Gospels were written that you might know that you have eternal life. If you don't know that you have eternal life, can I just tell you what it looks like to confess your sins to Jesus? Say this, Lord, I know I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I fall so far short of your glory. I continually mess up. But I know you were perfect and you died in my place. Today, I'm going to put down the paddles of whatever I'm trusting in, my good works, my family, my church, my attempts to please you. I'm going to put all of that down. I'm going to grab the rope and I'm going to trust Jesus and Jesus alone. Today is the day, Easter Sunday, April the 17th, 2022. I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness from all of my sin, past, present, future. And I trust him to give me eternal life and him alone. The Bible says that when somebody does that, they have eternal life. It's that easy. It's like receiving a gift. It's just putting your hands out and saying, I'll take that. What answer will you give? What answer will you give when you're asked this question? Why should you be led into heaven? There's a lot of wrong answers that start with the word I. There's only one right answer. It starts with the word Jesus. Jesus. I should be led in because of Jesus. Lord, thank you for offering us the gift of salvation. Thank you for reminding us of your power through the resurrection. Please bless as we conclude our service today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus is the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the root of Jesse and the rock of ages. He's the Ancient of Days, the commander of God's army and the radiance of God's glory. He is the Holy One, the heir of all things, the bread of life and the author of life. He is the perfecter of faith, the overseer of souls, the horn of salvation, the desire of nations and the son of righteousness. He's the consolation of Israel, the Lion of Judah, and the Man of Sorrows. He is the gift of God, the Lamb of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the image of God, and the angel of God. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of Joseph, and the Son of Mary. He's the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Lord of Glory. He's the Morning Star, the Last Adam, the Living Stone. He is the true witness. He is the atoning sacrifice. He is the good shepherd, the great high priest, the chief cornerstone, and the righteous servant. He is the highest, the almighty, the firstborn, the advocate, the head, the resurrection, the temple, and the sanctuary. He is the branch, the vine, the way, the truth, the life, the gate, the rock, the light, the prophet, the apostle, and the Nazarene. He is the carpenter, the comforter, and the fountain. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the Amen. He is the faithful and true. He's the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah, the Word, the Rabbi, the Teacher, the Master, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, mediator, creator, and judge. He is Emmanuel. He is Yahweh, Lord, God, Savior, Christ. He is Jesus.
Is my beginning. The line drawn in the sand. The end of all my striving. Now I am born again.
There Jesus was forsaken. The gift of God, the work of Calvary, it is done, it is finished, Christ has won, he is risen, grace is here, love is triumphed over death.
Mercy is complete. His love is not in question. The Son of God has spoken over me.
It is done. It is finished. Christ has won. He is risen. Is here. Love is triumphed over death forever.
Strongholds bowing to the Savior, resurrection power over every circumstance. His word stands final and forever. It will not be shaken. He alone has won it all. Strongholds bowing to the Savior, resurrection power over every circumstance. His word stands final and forever. It will not be shaken. He alone has won it all. It is done. It is finished. Christ has won. He is risen,
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.